Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Our yoga instructor challenged us to find inner peace. I found it faster than anyone. After 4 seconds, I stood up and screamed,
I found nirvana! I win!
They asked me to leave. I guess they don't respect winning. Bet365 does, though. New customers get $200 in bonus bets just for betting $10. Namaste, losers. Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
And welcome in to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this rainy Thursday morning, the final day of 2020. And quite frankly, boys, I think the weather sums up this year perfectly right now. There's no better way to send out this year than a gross, disgusting, Rhett Waney day.
Cold rain. It's hard to get worse than that.
It's the worst. It's like 37 and rainy right now.
It might be the worst, but it is still a great day.
It's a great day.
It's a great day because it is the last day that we can say it's 2020.
Yeah, that's right.
And then a week from now, everybody can say, oh, well, it's just 2021.
Yeah, you're right. Matter of fact, a day from now, people can just say it's 2021.
Exactly. But people will be excited for, you know, yes. 4 or 5, maybe 6 days. That's and then true. By the seventh day, it'll get back to, oh, well, that's just so 2021.
That's not a great outlook for what's coming down the pike here. Ryan Porth?
Yeah,
go ahead, Joe.
Sorry, like the first celebrity death, and yeah. We'll be right back to that.
Ryan Porth, are you excited about your Cincinnati Bearcats tomorrow taking on the Georgia Bulldogs? It is like the Super Bowl for the Bearcats.
It absolutely is. Our head coach did not leave overnight this time before they played in a big game against an SEC team in a bowl game. Looking at you, that smug old Brian Kelly up in South Bend, Indiana, as he left Cincinnati before they took on Florida. So, and lied about it. So, you know, all praise Luke Fickell. He can run for the mayor of Cincinnati and probably win right now. Okay. And I feel pretty good about it.
Hey.
Against the Georgia Bulldogs tomorrow in the Peach Bowl in Atlanta, a game that you can hear on ESPN 102.5 The Game tomorrow starting at 11.
There you go. I'm rooting for you. I am pulling for the Bearcats in this game. Joe Rexrode, did you see the annihilation last night of the Florida Gators? 55-20. They lose to Oklahoma. They had about 35 players missing, but my goodness, Oklahoma just destroyed them in that game last night.
Yes, they did, and Kyle Trask looked terrible. Kyle Trask made me feel better about my Heisman ballot, which I can't reveal, but I'll just say I feel better about it after last night. But, you know, he's missing Pitts and Grimes and Tony. They, like you said, they were missing a bunch of guys. I also had guys say before the game, like, Oklahoma's not on our level. And then, of course, after the game, Dan Mullen, you know, this wasn't our team and I'm, you know, shouldn't have played and what, you know, all that stuff.
It really is amazing the amount of things he's able to come up with after they lose. It's almost impressive at this point.
Yeah. This was the last game that this team played was actually 11 days ago. So I guess all those guys last night who got banged up, they don't count as 2020 Florida Gators.
Not on the team.
Yeah.
You guys play somewhere else. Just amazing. And this bowl season.
Let's be clear here. You know, if Dan Mullen was Tennessee's whining crybaby coach, it would be great for Tennessee. He's a hell of a coach, but my gosh, is he a whining crybaby?
Yes, he is. My goodness, he is whiny. And I would like to think if he was at Tennessee, maybe I wouldn't look past that, but I probably would. I'd probably look past it at this point. Speaking of Tennessee, Joe. We were all excited about the test last night for Tennessee against Missouri on the hardwood. And I tell you, Tennessee comes out, they just hammer Missouri last night. 73-53 is the final. They got off, 21-4 to start the game. And defensively, I mean, they were just on another level last night. This, to me, is, you know, there's probably 3 or 4 teams you can put in this conversation, but Tennessee one of the best defensive teams in the country, and they showed it again last night, a dominant performance against Missouri.
Yeah, I mean, it's a real thing. That defense is no joke, and they take it seriously, and they got the guys, they got the depth, they got the athleticism, and they're just very connected and very good. And then, you know, it was a good – you know, offensively, they just have so many different people who can hurt you. Last night, Viscovi got hot, you know. I mean, Josiah James, I don't even know if he would, he maybe took a shot or two. And on another night, he'll score 15. And Eve Pons is tell you what, he's the National Defensive Player of the Year. I mean, it's like it's he's absolutely the best defensive player in college basketball. Like, there's no one – he could be – in the NBA right now, he'd be one of the best defensive players in the NBA. I mean, the guy can guard every position, and he covers ridiculous ground. And he's getting better offensively. I mean, he's just an unbelievable talent. So they are I mean, to me – you know, and I didn't catch who it was on the SEC network, but you know, he said last night, this team can win the national championship. And I mean, I buy it, you know. I mean, they're on the, to me, short list of best teams. I think Gonzaga is probably on its own level.
Right.
But right after that, Baylor, Tennessee, whoever else you want to put in there, I think they're right in that next group. They're not going to get, you know, the SEC has a lot of good teams, but not great teams. You know, they're not going to get the same kind of test that you would have gotten in some recent years in the SEC, I don't think. But once they get to the NCAA tournament, I mean, they're going to be – this has a great chance to be the first Final Four team in Tennessee history.
Now, I got to tell you, I did see this on the broadcast last night. Joe Rexrode with a shout-out last night by Tom Hart on the SEC Network with your article that you came out with yesterday that we talked about on the show. So now Joe Rexrode – closing out 2020, hitting the big time on us. Way to go.
Yeah, I mean, I only had to ship him a couple hundred bucks, a couple C notes, and Tom Hart gave me a little shout out. Now that was nice of him. It was actually funny listening to their conversation because he was trying to remember Bob Kloppenberg's name.
Yeah.
And John Sumbel's like, oh, Bob Kloppenberg, right? Yeah, that's right. So that was a pretty that was nice. Listen, usually I write about something. And if, like, you know, it's like, oh, this team's running back or whatever, this team's offensive line. And if there's a game that day about that thing, that usually it's a jinx. Like, usually it stinks, you know. Wrote about Tennessee's offensive line this year. And you know, then they go play Georgia. So this was a rare case of, like, it actually turned out to be true on that day. So. Maybe 2020 wasn't also all that bad.
Yeah, just closes it out in style. I mean, Jaden Springer last night, I thought he was outstanding. 13 points in the game, defensively really solid once again. Then Keon Johnson, like, you look at his stat line, it's not going to blow you away. 6 points, 3 of 6 shooting. But I thought, I mean, he had some big moments in that game, a heck of a dish to Eve Pons on a thunderous dunk there. I mean, I the freshmen continue, I think, to really impress. And the exciting part is if you're Tennessee – like, I think you know offensively, especially both Johnson and Springer, they can continue to get better as this season goes on.
Yeah, I mean, Johnson is just silly, some of the stuff he does. But again, you know, he ends up taking six shots. He gets 6 points. Springer is, you know, scores 13. Yeah, you know, look, those guys could be getting 20-point nights at a lot of places. And the fact that they're fine coming off the bench and, hey, play some D, and, yeah, I'll take a shot here and there. I mean, it's just – you don't see it that often. So, I mean, you know, we're talking about, but at some point, you know, like LSU will score 85 on them or something. I mean, you're going to have bad nights, but boy, if they stay healthy, they've got everything you need.
They sure do. And then on the other side of town here in Nashville, a rough night for Vanderbilt last night. They fall 91-72 to the Florida Gators. And, you know, obviously, Joe, you know, coming into the season that Vanderbilt wasn't going to be picked very high in the SEC. But just Florida was able to pull away in that game last night. An impressive victory by Florida.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's some things to like about Vanderbilt. I thought Dylan Dessou played well. I mean,
Scottie Pippen Jr. Yeah,
you know, he was averaging 23. He still ends up with 18 in that game. Offensively, you know, they did some good things. But, I mean, 61.8% from Florida. You know, obviously that's not going to get it done. Jerry Stackhouse had an interesting quote after the game, basically – man, we've got some super smart kids, but they make some dumb basketball mistakes. You know? So they got some work to do. I mean, it's, you know, it's I mean, already they're at a talent disadvantage a lot of nights. So they got to really be, you know, buttoned up on both ends of the floor. And last year he found some ways for that team to – he found ways to overcome that gap. And, you know, I'm sure it's much harder this year, you know, given all the challenges and all the absences and pauses and all that stuff. But, you know, I still think that team – they need Cleavon Brown back. He was hurt last night. They don't have a presence in the paint, really. And – he's got like a core injury, which really bothers you. But, man, if they can get him back, still think they can be competitive and, you know, steal some games in the SEC.
So a lot to get to on today's show. Got a lot of Titans talk with the Texans with the big game coming up on Sunday. Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter and host of Nate and TD and Talking with TD will join us at 8 o'clock. We'll look ahead at that game with him. David Uppen, our good friend from The Athletic, joins us at 9 o'clock. We'll get into the latest with Tennessee football with him. Also look ahead to the college football playoff as well. And speaking of the college football playoff, let's introduce our poll question of the day at 102.5 The Game on Twitter. Which program in the college football playoff are you tired of seeing play on the big stage the most? Alabama, Clemson, Notre Dame, or Ohio State? So we've talked about it a little bit, Joe, before. We'll continue to talk about it kind of heading into the show here. Are people suffering from Alabama fatigue or Clemson fatigue or Ohio State fatigue? I'm interested to see the way this poll goes. It's very early in the poll so far, but a lot of mixed results so far. So this is going to be an interesting one.
Yeah, I mean, can I throw in like an all of the above? SAT?
Add another option?
But that'll be interesting.
Joe, there's not an edit button on Twitter.
Yeah, not yet.
So we can't do that.
In all seriousness, is there a limit on choices you can do in a Twitter poll?
Four. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. See, as you can see, I'm very proficient in Twitter.
Hey, have you figured out how to search your name on Twitter yet and like get your past tweets?
Well, so last night got into a little thing with not really just kind of having fun with Vol Twitter, you know, because they're retweeting like old tweets of like Pat Forty about like Rick Barnes or whatever. And I'm like, oh, yeah, because Vol Twitter was totally in on Rick Barnes from the start. All supportive, all happy. You know. So but my friend Brad Shepard, I don't know if you know Brad, but, you know, he said I was. I'm like, all right, man, let's see your receipts and that. And he actually figured out how to search his name and that. And he showed me receipts. It was pretty impressive. Like, he's been totally pro Rick Barnes all along. So good job, Brad Shepard. So I read how you're supposed to do it. So I might even give that a try today.
Oh, good. Now that would be a great way to close out this year if you could figure that out. Because I was going to make that one of our goals for you in 2021. But if you could go ahead and wrap that up, that'd be a head start on next year.
Yeah, but see, now that you mention it, I mean, I may as well save it, right? It may as well be a resolution. I don't have any good resolutions.
Okay.
So, yeah, maybe that'll be my only one.
Yeah, figure out how to find your old tweets on Twitter. What a resolution that'll be. When we come back, we will dive into the Titans. Look ahead to this upcoming game against the Texans on Sunday. Is Ryan Tannehill in a bit of a mood this week? We'll discuss that on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Look at Porth coming back in with Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch. I love it. It's good stuff.
Yep. It's good vibrations today.
It is.
It's the final day of 2020.
Joe Rex Road, do you approve of this bump music?
I mean, it's funny.
So no.
No, it's fine.
Okay.
I'm cool with Marky Mark. I like Marky Mark better as an actor.
Me too.
But yeah, it's, you know, that's good. You could put, you got the Beatles version too of the same title.
So. Nah.
No,
I
think we'll skip out on that. Yeah.
Oh no. I'm sorry. Did I say Beatles? It's Beach Boys. Okay. That's incredibly stupid. The fact that you guys thought I was right there is also depressing.
Well, look, you threw it out there. You're the musical expert here, not us.
Yeah. Beatles aren't very good. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd rather listen to the Beach Boys than the Beatles.
Oh, for sure.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. You love the Beach Boys.
I like the Beach Boys.
Yeah.
But, I mean, like, that's – I mean, okay, I'm not even going to get going on this. Now we're comparing the Beach Boys to the Beatles. All right. Let's move on to 2021.
I think it's going to be my new goal is to see how early I can get you fired up every morning. So far, 617, yeah. The new record. So we'll continue to keep that going. Speaking of fired up, Ryan Tannehill, you know, usually in his press conferences, he's calm, he's collected. He doesn't say a whole lot, never really goes into that much detail in terms of what he's probably actually thinking or, you know, the personality of what a true Ryan Tannehill personality looks like. But kind of a different scene yesterday, Joe Rexroad, at Ryan Tannehill's press conference. A little bit ornery, maybe a little bit, maybe you call it focused, heading into this game against Houston. Really wanted no part of answering questions yesterday, Joe.
Well, yeah, most of them were normal, but there were a couple instances like, oh, okay. you know, maybe he's a little, maybe he's sick of us, which I would totally not blame him for. But it was maybe a little bit more of an edge there. You know, for Ryan. Now, you know, last week he was ticked off about not making the Pro Bowl.
Yeah.
So that did not translate to good play on the field. So not all his fault, but still he didn't have a good night. So I don't know if you want to take anything from that or not. I think he'll play well Sunday, but it's interesting. Like, it's kind of 2 weeks in a row that it's been different from the usual, as you say. I mean, Tannehill, we've had this debate a lot in the, you know, the Titans press corps on Mariota, Tannehill, both very nice guys, both, you know, very, you can see like there's actually a lot more personality, you know, when it's not dealing with us, but then with us, it's just like, let's see how little I can give these guys, you know? Now, I think Tannehill's quite a bit better than Mariota in that way. I mean, he'll say some stuff sometimes. Not massively better. Mariota could be just incredible, like, and at not saying anything. So it's close. It's back to back. But yeah, yesterday there's a little bit of you know, maybe just like sick of the whole thing.
It was, and we've talked this week about, you know, J.J. Watt, his comments after the game last week. How big of an impact could that have on the Texans heading into the game on Sunday? Well, Ryan Tannehill was asked about J.J. Watt's comments yesterday in his press conference. Here's what Tannehill had to say.
Yeah, Ryan, I don't know if you saw J.J. Watt's post-game press conference last week where he kind of, you know, demanded a little better of them as a team. When a player like that in a leadership position kind of has a moment where he's trying to galvanize his teammates, can that have like a tangible effect on the players around him, or is that just something that football players do to try and, you know, get themselves amped back up?
Yeah, I don't know. It's not really, you know, my style to go through the media and try to do something like that, but maybe you can ask AJ or JJ and he can help you out with that.
So a little bit of Mike Vrabel there from Ryan Tannehill. I almost respect it, Joe. That was nice.
Why don't you go ask him, Buck? First of all, I mean, look, let's give Buck credit. Like, dude, we don't need 5-minute questions here. What's your question, Buck? What is your question?
Yeah, land the plane.
I'm sorry, Buck. By the way, Buck, he may have had the worst team in the Titans media league that I won convincingly. Just want to give him a shout.
I love how you've weaved that in there this week. It's very good.
Yeah. Well, listen, this is last show of the week and last show of the year. I mean, I've really got to get my game going and talk more about my Titans Media League championship team. But yeah, that was like Tannehill. I was like, whoa, okay. Shut it down, Tannehill. Why don't you go ask him that? It's funny too, cause it almost sounded like you could take that as Tannehill a little bit ripping JJ, you know,
yeah.
Like, I don't know if I'm ripping the dude who's teeing off and coming to get me on Sunday. Like, it's interesting with JJ Watt. I've seen a variety of reactions to that. This week. I don't know, like including some people thinking it's like fake and dumb. And I'm like, man, I don't know. I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good too. And I hear what you're saying there. Like the first part of Tannehill's answer where he talks about, yeah, I don't know if that's quite my style, putting it out in the media like that. I guess you could take that as a shot. Maybe J.J. Watt hits him one time on Sunday.
And then he told Buck to go to J.J. Watt's Zoom and ask him that question.
Yeah, figure it out, Buck.
Why don't you and JJ go talk amongst yourselves, huh? Leave me alone.
So could have fired up Tannehill? Could that mean something for the Titans? Do you think it's just he's tired of talking to the media? Do you think it's just it's week 17, there's a whole lot on the line this week, and there's too much for him to be doing than worried about talking to the media right now? What do you think went into all this different energy from Ryan Tannehill yesterday.
Yeah, again, like, I mean, most of it was typical. And again, let me reiterate, I am team Tannehill is better than Mariota.
Sure.
You know, just not, I mean, there's a lot of, you know, kind of get through the answer and players speak. But, hey, look, I mean, you're ticked off and you say it. And actually, that's the funny thing is I thought it was probably the most open and honest he's been last week talking about that. I mean, actually admitting like, yeah, like I thought you guys should have been in the Pro Bowl. And also probably even more honest, you know, he was asked about, you know, why do you think it is, you know, the Derrick Henry factor. He's like, yeah, I think that's exactly what it is. You know, that people think that, you know, in so many words, paraphrasing, I'm a passenger and I'm just like, you know, Derrick Henry's chauffeur. So that was probably the most honest he's been. Then he has a stinker like this, and now there's all this pressure. I mean, if you're Tannehill, you're probably this week, if you could pick a week to like not even have to do the media obligation, this is probably the one. So that's how I would take it. He's probably ticked off, and he should be. You know, I mean, it's. I don't think it's more important for him, like the Pro Bowl stuff or all that. You know, the team was terrible, and they blew an opportunity, and now they're in a high pressure situation. So that probably all goes into it.
Yeah, and it obviously was not a great week from Tannehill last week. Two turnovers, could have had more in that game. I would expect a bounce back game, and even you know, I realize it's Houston, and their defense is not very good, so. You expect a bounce-back game from Tannehill from that standpoint, I think. But I think just based on his history so far, when he has a game here in Tennessee that you would consider not a very good one for Ryan Tannehill, which, to his credit, that hasn't happened a whole lot. Generally, he comes back the next game and looks really good, looks really sharp. I would expect that to happen again on Sunday against Houston. Now, he's at 3,603 yards, so he's 397 away from 4,000. It would take a massive day for him to get to 4,000. I don't know if I expect a day like that. If that's the case, that's probably not good news for the Titans defense that he's having to throw for 397 yards. But I would expect right around 250, 260, a couple touchdowns from Ryan Tannehill on Sunday. I think the Titans offense is poised for a rebound against Houston.
And if he were to throw for that money, that probably means they're coming from behind.
Probably so.
Yeah, or at least in a back and forth, whoever gets the ball last wins kind of game. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if you're a Titans fan right now and you can pick one of those two guys, Tannehill or Henry, to have monster numbers, I mean, I guess this is probably true most weeks. You know, if Derek has those numbers, it probably means, you know, that the Titans aren't multiple scores down and coming from behind. But yeah, I mean, it's too bad for Tannehill. You know, if he just had a, And look, I mean, I think if it wasn't snowy, maybe this happens. I don't know. I don't know that for sure. But if he just has like a normal, even a little bit below average week in Green Bay, then he doesn't have to have some ridiculous number to get to 4,000 this week. But that's the situation he's in. And, of course, he's got his two receivers to get 1,000 apiece, which both can do. And these are all secondary concerns, but hey, I mean, if you're a Titans fan and you hope for a win first, it'd be cool to see some of these guys get their milestones too.
Now on the other side, I mean, Deshaun Watson, the last time these two teams played, had 335 yards through the air, 4 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, quarterback rating of 138.9. Now, I get it. That was a long time ago, and the Titans' secondary is much different in this game than it was in that game. But I look at this defense. It's not out of the realm of possibility to me that Deshaun Watson can have those same numbers, heck, maybe even better numbers in this game. Do you expect a quarterback duel on Sunday in Houston?
Yeah, I mean, I expect them to both have good numbers. I mean, it's hard to like either defense. You know, it's hard to like either defense, and it's – hard to bet against either quarterback. I mean, even through all this, and the Texans in some of these recent games, you know, they've had tons of injuries and guys missing and stuff. And I mean, again, twice maybe beat the Colts, if not for a terrible fumble, like right at the goal line, you know, late in those two games, or this division would be over already in the Titans' favor. So, but again, that's a good defense. That's definitely a better defense than the Titans. And still, they couldn't, you know, contain him, and he was in position to beat him twice. So, I mean, look, there's no There's no reason. I mean, if you got an over-under on QB passing yards in this game, what would you set it at? Like, you know, 600?
Probably
595?
So.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's hard to imagine they won't both have big days.
Brandon Allen for the Bengals and Deshaun Watson last week combined for close to 700 yards.
Yeah.
There you go.
I think like 615 is a good over-under for them.
Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, if you're the Titans, you hope not, because you hope you're running the ball right down their throat, and maybe you're not throwing for as many yards, but you could be right. Like, they may have to throw in this game, just based on their defense.
Yeah, the Titans' best days, you know, even like the Buffalo game, Tannehill threw for 195, three
right.
touchdowns. Now, that was short fields on a couple of those TD drives, but, yeah, their best days, Tannehill's about, you know, about 200, 210, Henry's about 150. That's about what they're looking for.
Right, and speaking of Derrick Henry, last year at this time, he's going into Houston. He wins the rushing title and propels the Titans into the playoffs. Do they need a repeat performance from him on Sunday in Houston? We'll debate that on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. So, somewhat of a similar situation last year for the Titans going down to Houston. They needed to win the game. Obviously, you need to win this game on Sunday, too, to win the division. Now, the difference being last year, Houston was not playing their key guys. Deshaun Watson not in the game. Looks like they will be this year. And J.J. Watt, his impassioned speech that we've talked about all week. I would expect a good effort from Houston on Sunday. I don't know what that means in terms of the bottom line of the score, but I expect the effort to be there from the Texans. And we all know what Derrick Henry did last year in Houston. The rushing title was on the line. He comes in, he dominates against the Texans and propels the Titans into the playoffs. And you look at the stats right now, heading into week 17. Derrick Henry, 1,777 yards. He's got a 220-yard lead on Dalvin Cook, who is at 1,557. So you feel pretty good about Derrick Henry winning the rushing title for the second consecutive season. Although I will say, Joe, Dalvin Cook playing against the Lions, so he may be able to run for 350 yards.
He's actually out.
Is he out?
No, he's out.
Is
he's
he?
Out. Yeah, so that's,
so it's
so
over.
That's over. Yeah.
All righty. I guess so, I missed that.
Yeah, he lost his dad.
Ah.
And so apparently he has left the building and is, I think, back in Florida. So, I mean, I think actually, honestly, the Lions factor would have said, would made you think, well, you know, I mean, it's still like you still expect Derrick Henry to get numbers, of course, but like, hey, who knows, right? But yeah, so two straight for the first time since LT in 06 and 07. It's pretty amazing it's been that long.
It is. And I mean, I think that just highlights what Derrick Henry's been able to do the last couple of years and has shown no signs of slowing down. Maybe he goes for three in a row next year, but do you think it's going to take for the Titans to win this game, another performance like that from Derrick Henry, where he's up around 150, 200 yards rushing on the ground? He went for over 200 last time that he went against the Texans.
I think his number will be indicative of how this game, you know, is going for the Titans. You know, I think one thing, it'd be good for the Titans to lose the coin toss and have to have the ball first so they can be ahead instead of just Garrett like signing up to be behind, because Vrabel likes to defer. I mean, you know, like his number to me, if you show me just that number, I'll probably have I'll guess right on whether they win or lose, you know? And I do think probably about 150 is probably about, like, he doesn't have to get to 200. Now,
right.
Of course, if he gets to 223, and you get to that 2,000-yard mark too, which is certainly on the table for him. But, yeah, I think about 150 is probably about what you're looking for. You know, you can get there. Yeah, and the number of carries matters too. You know, like if he's up in that 25-plus, that also to me speaks to a game that's gone the way the Titans wanted to go. I mean, the only way to me that he doesn't have numbers like that is just if the Titans – screw it up a little bit offensively early, fall behind, get into a hole, and at some point have to kind of scrap what they want to do.
And the last time that they played the Texans, Derrick Henry with 22 carries, 212 yards, and two touchdowns, had the long 94-yarder as well in that game. So you feel great about his ability to get some chances in this game, to pop some big ones. Houston's rush defense has been awful. And, look, they know the challenge coming into this game. I mean, it's Derrick Henry. They're very familiar with him. But I look at that Houston defense right now. I don't know if they can stop him. I mean, just based on what I've seen out of them this year, I think they're in for a long day on Sunday.
So that's like a combined 420 yards in the last two games that Derrick Henry has faced Houston.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. And again, you know, you don't – like some of his big games, like I'm trying to remember last year, I think he had – he did have a pretty long TD in that game, right? But it was a sub-50, but it was still a long touchdown run. You know, you get the 94 – you get the huge, huge run, and obviously that's going to, you know, vault your number way up. But pretty consistently, he just batters that team. And, you know, I just, like, we've been talking about the J.J. Watt thing, and it's great. I like it a lot. I'm sure it kicked somebody in the butt. I don't think that's going to get the Texans shutting down Derrick Henry Sunday.
Yeah, at the end of the day, you still have to go out and tackle that guy. And they've proven to be really challenged in that area to tackle Derrick Henry. And Romeo Crennel, interim Texans head coach, talked about that yesterday and the challenge of defending Derrick Henry and specifically that stiff arm of his. Here's what Romeo Crennel had to say.
Romeo, could you tell us a couple things about Derrick Henry that impress you the most? What do you tell your players about how to stay away from his stiff arm and try to bring him down?
Well, you know what, John? We really don't want to stay away from him. We want to try to get close in on him and try to get as many guys around him as we can on the stiff arm. We know that it's a powerful stiff arm. And so basically, depends on when he puts it out. You know, if he puts it out early enough, you can try to break it down to keep it from being a stiff arm per se. But if he's got good timing with it, which in many cases he does have good timing with it, you're not able to break it down, and then he hits you in the chest, arm, face mask, or wherever. That helps him gain yards. But you know, he's a strong physical runner with really good speed. And the thing to do is if you can keep him from getting to the second level, then that gives you the best chance to slow him down.
Can I just say that I love that we've gotten to the point with Derrick Henry and his stiff arms that it's become such of a highlight reel thing and such a point of emphasis that now other coaches are getting asked about, like, how to defend it. It's a pretty amazing.
It's its own thing, you know? It's like it should have its own locker or something, you know, the Derrick Henry stiff arm.
Or Twitter account.
Yeah, Twitter account.
How is there not one already, actually? Are we sure there isn't
one? There could be.
Let me test my Twitter searching skills. But, you know, I also love John McClain, by the way. Listen to that guy ask questions any day. I texted him, by the way. You know, I don't know if you saw this, but, you know, he said basically it made it sound like he was reporting that, like, Deshaun Watson wasn't going to play.
Right.
Like, it was really – like, it was like – and I don't have it in front of me, but it was like, he's not going to play Sunday. Like, the next – you know, they're going to keep him safe for the – like for the, you know, basically the next coach and GM who come in. So I text him like that's really happening. He's like, well, no, I'm just saying that's what should happen. I'm like, oh, okay, all right, John. All right. Thanks though. Okay. But, cause like that would have been, I was trying to think about it, like that would have been a first that I can recall where you'd have a team that was out of it. And it's just like, you know what, let's just, oh yeah, there's a bunch of accounts. There's like a million Derrick Henry stiff arm accounts. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Now a lot of them are like they may have just been renamed. You know, you can just like change the name of your account, you know?
This is the best investigative journalism that you've done in your career.
I mean, I'm looking at like 14. Like Derrick Henry stiff arm is inevitable. Most of them are just Derrick Henry stiff arm. But most of them have just some other random name with them, right?
You know, yeah, like, that doesn't count.
At Thomas Mullins 12, and he calls it Derrick Henry. But this one.
Shout out to Thomas.
Yeah.
I'm sure Thomas. He's listening.
Yeah, he better be. But this one, this is good. Like you've got, it's Derrick Henry stiff arm. It's at Henry underscore arm, okay? It's, oh man, this is odd. This is a game I covered. His stiff arming Shalit Calhoun of Michigan State in the playoff and a late touchdown. But he's got him with Josh Josh Allen, or not Josh Norman. Josh Norman. You got some still frames of Derek. So very nice. Very good. Now, there's no followers. So if anybody would like to follow at Henry underscore arm, you will be his first follower.
Maybe it should be you.
I mean, I'm thinking about it. Okay. He's got some good pictures.
Does our good buddy Thomas have any followers?
Yeah. How are we doing on that front?
Well, now, of course, now I've lost, like, the list, so just.
Gosh, Joe.
Here we go. Let's see. Yeah. See, how do you, if you click on something, how do you go back to the search results? Right?
This is the most old man thing you've ever done. This is unbelievable.
Okay, all right, here we go. Thomas Mullins, at Thomas Mullins 12. He's got a Preds jersey. Yeah.
Hey. Maybe he is listening to the show.
Could be.
500 is in Morgantown, West Virginia, but you know, maybe he's obviously likes Nashville sports teams, but yeah, I mean, like if you're going to call yourself Derrick Henry Stiff Arm, if that's going to be the name, then make it your at too.
Yeah. Yeah. It takes commitment.
Go the whole way.
Take some dedication here. Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ron texts in and says, what do you think? Can Derrick Henry get to 2000 yards in this game? So like you said, Joe, he's 223 away. That's a big number. Not an impossible number for Derrick Henry, but a big number. Do we think that he gets it done on Sunday, gets to 2,000 yards? If you had to put a percentage chance on it, what would your answer be?
I'd put it around 12%. You know, I don't think it's a high. I mean, that's a big number.
It is.
What has to happen is he's got to have another one of those just long. He's got to have like a 70-yard TD run, 70-plus, you know? I don't think it's going to be like, you know, chunk after chunk after chunk getting to 223. I mean, he's got to have – and again, the last two games, I'll go back and look at what he had last year. But it was – I'd say it was at least a 45-er, you know, the TD run, you know, in Houston.
I think it was 60.
Was it? Okay.
I think so. Okay. Let me check.
Yeah. No, I want to check. No, I'm really good at searching the internet.
Yes,
really.
You are.
But so that's what it's got to take. So both of those games, you take those runs out, and I'm not saying, you know, those runs count, but 200 twice in a row with two long touchdowns, you know, that's what it's going to take. So, I mean, I'd put it, 12 to 15%, something like that.
53 yards. I beat you, Joe.
Okay.
Okay. 53. Nice work. 53 yards, 94 yards. I mean, right there, you got 147 yards. Look at that math. You know, in two carries. So take those. So it's 400 and some yards, and it's, you know, 100 and it's a third of it or more than a third of it, almost a half of it in two carries. So you got to have one of those. That happens. If he gets one early, gets a big one early, that percentage goes up quite a bit.
I just wonder if he's hovering around like 175, 180, in the beginning of the fourth quarter and the Titans are up, I don't know, 14, 17 points in this game, which, while I think maybe unlikely given their defense, it's not out of the realm of possibility given the rebound week I think their offense is going to have. If you're Vrabel, you let him in, you let him keep going for it with 40 yards left to go, I would at that point.
I mean – and the game's out of hand? Like the
I mean, 14 points, is that – I mean, that's I guess that depends on – your definition of out of hand at that point. I mean, I think you feel good about yourself there, but I'm not sure that that's a guarantee that Derrick Henry's just out.
Yeah, I would say that the difference there might be two or three scores. So right there, it's two scores. I think you still have to be like, hey, you can't take chances, you know? One turnover or whatever going the other way, and all of a sudden it's a totally new game. So now if it's 17, then I think, hey, man, thanks for your service.
Yeah.
We'll see you in the playoffs.
Let's go to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Andrew from Dover texts in and says, with Henry's power running, what do you think of comparing it to the Bucks' Mike Allstott? Interesting. He's a lot faster.
He is. I mean, Allstott was surprisingly fast. I mean, Allstott could take one.
Sure.
You know, and that was the thing with him. That's not bad. I had not thought about that one before. I would say Allstott, more of a straight up power guy. I mean, he was a fullback,
right?
Really, you know, with some home run ability, and Derrick Henry just better, you know, an all around better runner, and like you said, certainly faster. But that's not actually, if you go through the various, it's hard to find a comp, you know. I keep going back to Bo Jackson, but at least with Allstott, and you know, Christian Okoye, but with Allstott, at least you kind of have the speed that doesn't match up with the size of the body. So Allstott was, so he was 6'1", 247. That's pretty good. Now that's good. I never would have thought of that. And again, you know, you're basically talking the exact same weight, you know, a couple inches shorter, but not as good. But that's got to be one of the top probably three comps for him.
I wonder if there's a Twitter account with Mike Allstott stiff arm.
Could be. Maybe Joe Rextro. Maybe Joe Rextro could search for that during the break.
Right now.
There you go. Coming up next, there's a specific quality about this Titans team that makes me feel really good heading into this game against Houston. We'll discuss what that is on the other side of the break. But first, I've got a word from FanDuel. And Nashville, it's your time to bet on college football on New Year's Day with an exclusive 25-1 odds boost on FanDuel Sportsbook. You heard that right. FanDuel Sportsbook giving new users an exclusive 25-1 odds boost on the two biggest college football games of the year. That means you can pick either Alabama or Notre Dame or Clemson or Ohio State to win. Bet just $5 for a chance to win $125. And there's a reason why FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook. Their app is simple to use. They've got great odds on all different betting markets, unique fun bet types like the same game parlay, and exclusive always-on promotions such as enhanced odds boost on the biggest events and bet insurance to let you get more action out of every game day. And unlike the other guys, once you win, FanDuel gets you your cash in as little as 24 hours. Why? Because it's the right thing to do. So right now, what you need to do, go download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and use my promo code ROB, that's R-O-B, to take advantage of your exclusive 25-1 college football odds boost. Remember, that's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code ROB. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. New users only, must wager on designated boost market. Deposit required, max bonus of $125. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. And for problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789.
If everybody had an ocean across the USA.
Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Joe, we've talked about this a few times in terms of the Titans and their ability to respond to games. They've done that for the most part this year. You go out, you have a stinker. Generally, the next game is good for the Titans. You think back to Cincinnati. You come out the next game and beat Chicago. The Colts game on Thursday night where you get embarrassed in the second half. You follow that up the next week with a win against Baltimore. Cleveland in the first half, when you get blown out, you respond the next week, albeit against the Jacksonville Jaguars, and destroy Jacksonville 31-10. So this team this season has a track record of when things go poorly in the game before, generally they respond in a good way. So you feel good about that if you're a Titans fan. But I think another thing, Joe, that you feel great about is this team seems like there's a clutch factor to it. Like when you have to have a play, when you have to have a game, this group has plenty of experience with that. And quite frankly, they've played pretty well in those situations. Like you think back to the Houston game last year to end the regular season, a great performance there. Obviously, the playoff games come to mind in New England and in Baltimore as well. And even in the first half in Kansas City, they look pretty good. I feel good about this group and their ability. When you need to have big plays, when you need to have clutch performers perform at their capability, this team to me has demonstrated an ability to do that. And if I'm a Titans fan, knowing that gives me good confidence heading into this game on Sunday against Houston.
Yeah, no, I would agree. I mean, you think back to last year, obviously they were in a bad spot. Really, they kind of had the, you know, they kind of bounced back with Tannehill, got a couple wins, but then go lose to Carolina and lose Malcolm Butler that day. And, you know, they had a run there, including beating the Chiefs, including going in and beating Indy, huge win in Indy, you know, with Derrick Henry blocking a field goal, Khalif Raymond. I mean, you know, they had a lot of clutch wins. Now, there was a real clutch moment last year to win the division.
Yep.
And they didn't get it done, you know, and that was that game. I mean, I'll always remember the Firkser play, because that probably – that just swung the game so much. You're talking about to score, the ball gets knocked out, it goes all the way the other way, and it's such a game-changing play. But still, they're in position, and they just flat-out couldn't deal with Watson and Hopkins late. You know, that was – to me, that was like just greater players, like great players and better players than the players you're trying to cover them with beating you, you know. But that's a rarity. I mean, in 2018 even – you go back to they didn't win, you know, the win and end game. So you got to also, you know, I mean, it's not like it's all great performances, but I think that they actually played pretty well in that game. And they had Blaine Gabbert at quarterback, but right. they beat the Jets, Jaguars, Giants, and Redskins, still the Redskins back then, four straight games to put themselves in that spot, you know. Not great teams, but still, I mean – they really had to, especially against Washington and the Jets, they had to really come up with some big-time plays in the fourth quarter of those games to win them. So they've done a lot of it.
They have, and that's – I mean, this group, I don't think the moment is going to be too big for them on Sunday. They've had a lot of experience with this. You know, when you talk about some of the clutch performances that they've had and the big games that they played in, I think some of dealing with that just comes from the experience of actually playing in the games. But I do wonder – like, given Mike Vrabel's history as a player and how many big games and clutch moments and big-time pressure situations he was a part of, how much credit does Vrabel get for, I guess, kind of coaching this team through it and getting them to play their best when the moments matter the most?
That's a good question. I don't know. Like, does that translate? You know, I think he knows how to get a team ready for a game and things like that. I think he's got a good demeanor on the sideline, things like that. It's always interesting to think about someone was a clutch player or did stuff as a player. So, like, how does that help him as a coach? I mean, these same guys, before Vrabel got here, they were also in win-and-in situations 2017. And, you know, they had really faded late. They went from 8-4 to 8-7.
Yeah.
So they had really blown their chance to win the division, but it's still winning in very high pressure game against Jacksonville, and they got it done. Your guy Marcus Mariota actually made a play or two in that game,
he did.
I recall. So, you know, some of these guys pre-Vrabel had done some of that, but I don't know. That's I have a hard time answering that question. What do you think?
I think he deserves some credit for it. Like, I don't know exactly how much, like if I had to put a percentage chance on it, but I do think there's something to be said for being experienced in that area and knowing that, you know, hey, look, I get it. There's a lot of eyeballs on this game. You're talking about playoff games. You're talking about, you know, all these different situations where pressure can come. Now, I also will say that I think sometimes we kind of overrate how that affects guys. I think, you know, a lot of these guys, whether it's at the NFL level, the college level, wherever you want to put it, I mean, they've played in some pretty high-stakes situations throughout their life. And a lot of guys, I mean, that's what they live for. That's what they play for. So I think sometimes maybe we put too much stock into, you know, teams kind of shying away from the big moment. But I do think Vrabel deserves some credit. I think being in as many different situations as he's been in, both as a player and now as a coach, that's got to help you in some capacity in situations like this if you're the Titans.
Yeah, just going through, you know, going through various, you know, situations where maybe where it went well and where it didn't, what worked, what didn't, and probably keeping things loose to a certain extent, you know, seems like one of those common themes. I mean, you don't want to be, you know, you don't want to be white knuckling the whole week. You
right.
know, you want to be focused and serious and intense, but also, you know, you're playing a game and do what you do best. Like you said, these guys, anybody who's at this level already deals with pressure probably better than a lot of people, because they have been under such scrutiny and had such attention and played in front of lots and lots of people and all that stuff. So automatically, you know, I'd say most people in this league, you know, are built to be in pressure situations, but then how do you beat the other really good player in that situation? You know, so yeah, I would agree that Vrabel probably has a good feel for what kind of conditions are perfect for a team to get ready for a game like this.
Yeah, and I mean, look, I think Tannehill deserves a lot of credit too. I mean, he's just – it always feels like he's in control. It didn't feel great on that on Sunday night. I get that against Green Bay. But by and large, you look at the way that this offense has run through him, it just feels like he's always in command of the offense, always in control of what's going on out there. And I think that has an effect on the rest of the team. When your quarterback is calm, when your quarterback looks like he's in control, I think that goes a long way towards, I think, easing everybody else, but also just being able to execute. Like, when your quarterback is getting you into the right checks, getting you into the right plays, it doesn't matter if it's a high-pressure situation or not, that gives you the best chance to succeed. And I think Tannehill has been great in that regard for the most part.
Yeah, I mean, I still feel, you know, like, I feel confident that he's going to perform even after last week. I think Tannehill, I think the offense, I mean, to me, that's just too much of an outlier to believe it as, you know, some new reality for this offense. And again, the Packers deserve credit. I mean, I came away from that game thinking, boy, they've got a nice combination of things beyond Rodgers and Adams. You know, they could really lend itself to a run. But, yeah, you feel like Tannehill will bounce back from that. Again, he's playing a bad defense, too. You feel good about that. For the most part, I mean, here and there, you know, he will throw, he'll try to squeeze one in that he shouldn't. And that really cost him in Cincinnati, you know, in particular. But for the most part, you got to feel good about him as your quarterback Sunday if you're a Titans fan.
So when we come back, we're going to switch gears, dive into the college football playoff. Another year has come, and it's more of the same in the college football playoff. Is this on the verge of being a bad thing for college football as a whole? We'll discuss that when we come back. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesale Link Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. You're on ESPN 102.5, The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.